Take your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter number 5, 1 John chapter number 5. I apologize this morning, we don't have a PowerPoint. You can probably figure out why we don't have a PowerPoint. It wasn't because I didn't have one, but it's because I forgot to send it to Cal today. And he assumed that we had a guest speaker. So I'm the guest speaker this morning. We don't have a PowerPoint. So if you got a pen and paper, get it out, and I'll try to give them to you as we go. And we'll see what we got here today. Going to speak to you today. I try to cover this every now and then, and I think sometimes we probably ought to cover it more than we do. And I know everybody, we come here today, and everybody looks around and we say, well, everybody here is saved today. Well, I hope so, but we don't know so. But everybody ought to know whether they are saved or not. And I'm going to deal with the subject today on how to know you're saved. And if you're saved, just rejoice and enjoy it, okay? But if God speaks to your heart about something that the Bible says that you maybe have not done, I hope you'll prayerfully ask God to speak to your heart today and show you. Recently, I have been around people. I was around people yesterday, and it seems like inevitably I meet with people that give their testimony, and here's what they say. They say, well, I was a child, and I got saved because somebody else got saved. I followed them down. Brother David, you have pretty much the same testimony. But when I got to a certain age, I recognized and realized that I was not saved, and I got saved. Friend, today, here's my deal. It would break my heart to know that anybody in this building today would die and go to hell. When heaven is just one prayer away and repentance of trusting God. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be moving you around all through 1 John. You don't have to leave the book, so you won't have to be looking for other scripture. But I tell you, 1 John is a great book to describe and tell us what we need to do. You see, we live in society today where doubts are plaguing us. We have doubts. There don't seem to be any certainty about anything in life anymore. We never know. We was excited a week or so ago. The gas price was coming down, and now they're headed back up. And yet we think about it. We have doubts concerning the economy. Man, you go to the grocery store. I used to buy some soft drinks, and they'd be an 8-pack for $4.99. And I went there the other day, and they're $7.99. And it's amazing. There's doubts about the government and what's going on there and the escalating world tension all around the world, Russia and China and North Korea and all the things that are happening. There's doubts concerning the future. How long will my life be? How long will I live? When's the end coming? Are we going to die before the end comes? There's many doubts that are in the hearts and minds of the people today, but the one I'm concerned with today is not so much them as I am the spiritual doubt that people have in their life. I believe this morning that as I speak to you, there's people that literally day by day, when they go to church, they are tormented in their mind as to whether they really know for sure that they've been born again. I want you to know today you can know for sure that you've been born again. And I believe today if you are saved, you will. But the worst kind of doubt that anybody could have is spiritual doubt, especially when you don't do anything about it. So this morning, if you would allow me, I want to talk about some things that I hope will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Number one, let me say, don't worry about the future because there's nothing you can do about it. Now, I know you can control the future of what you do, but I'm talking about the future outside the world. Don't worry about the government because once they get elected, there's nothing we can do. They're the ones that make the decision. They're the ones that pull the trigger on all the things, and no use in us worrying about it. We're in God's hands. If we're saved, we're in God's hands. No use to worry about it. No use to worry about the economy. You say, well, you know, it's getting bad. It's easy for you to say. Well, it's easy for me to say also that the Bible said in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And I believe no matter how high groceries get, the Bible said that the psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Thank the Lord for a good crew in the back. They're wonderful. And they even got it done before we got the outline. But there's a lot there. But there's no use worrying about the economy, how it'll be from week to week. As I already mentioned, God said he would supply our need. If you've got a problem, here's what you do. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, he said, fear not, little flock, but it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. When it comes to the spiritual realm, we don't need to be plagued with doubts and worries about where we're going to spend eternity. Oftentimes, have you ever laid that night and thought about, maybe I'm not saved, and think about the awfulness of hell, the flames, the fire, and all that goes along with it? I'm going to tell you, hell is real, friend. I wish today that I could say that perhaps maybe that wasn't so, but the truth is, the Bible said hell is real. It's a real place where people burn for all eternity, and eternity is a long, long time. But the Bible teaches us how we can know we're saved, secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, John tells us some 40 times that we can know that we're saved. What a blessing there is. So many churches today, people are just not sure. They're living in spiritual turmoil. And so today, I ask you, I beg you, I plead with you, listen carefully to the Word of God today. Examine your heart. All I want to know, and I want you to know that you've been saved and born again by the Spirit of God. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1, he said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him." Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together this morning. And Lord, today, take this message. I do not preach it lightly. Lord, I believe in my heart and I'm thankful for those that are here. And I believe perhaps and hope and pray that everybody here is saved. I'm surely not preaching this message trying to make anybody doubt. I don't want anybody to doubt, but I want them to know that they're saved. Because if they're not saved, they need to make sure they're saved before it's eternally too late. Father, we ask now that you'd have your will and way. Guide and direct, we pray. And we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Now, it's simple to go back to verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God. I don't know anybody in this building today that would say, "Well, I don't believe in God." I believe everybody. If you file out the door today, I say, "Do you believe in God?" "Oh, I believe in God." Well, there's a difference in having a mental belief and having a heart belief. You can have knowledge of who God. I believe in God. I have always, all my life, believed in God. I got saved as a young person. I remember the day. I tell you, I can just about tell you the time. I can tell you the place. I can tell you what I had on and all the things that went along with it. But yet we find that if we're not careful, somebody said, "Well, the Bible said, he that believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God." So I believe that Jesus is the Christ. But the truth of it is, it's more than that. And I'll tell you that as we go through the scripture today. It's not merely a mental knowledge. And there's no room for works. There's no room for good deeds. There's no good for anything that we can do to get ourselves to heaven. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So there's no room for that. And somebody said, "Well, I'm a good person." That's wonderful. All of you are good people. But we all have to be saved by the grace of God. You said, "But preacher, I've been working in the church now for 40 years. That's wonderful. But the fact of it is, you could work in the church 40 years and still be lost and not be saved. And again, please understand, I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation at all. I just want you to listen to what the Bible has to say about it. I don't know whether you're saved or not, but here's some things that come to my mind, a few questions that I want to ask you this morning about your salvation. Has it been a definite time, now listen, has it been a definite time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ and nothing else to save your soul? You came to the point, you wasn't dependent on works, you wasn't dependent on baptism, you wasn't dependent on nothing, but you came to a place, a definite time. There's a song, should have had y'all sing it this morning. I can take you to the place, I can tell you the time, I can take you to the place that the Lord saved me by His grace. Friend, if you're saved, I believe you'll remember the time. You may not remember the exact hour, you may not remember the exact date, but in your mind, you'll remember the day that you came before God and trusted Him and repented of your sin. When you had your experience, was it according to the plan of the Word of God? I told you about all these people lately that have been saying that they thought they were saved and then they got saved later in life. That's wonderful that they got saved later in life. But the fact of it is, we find here, they had gotten saved based on something else. Most of them, here's what they say. I got sidetracked there a minute. But most of them, here's what most of them say. They say, "Well, one day the preacher gave the invitation. And I went forward, and they filled out a card on me." In fact, a man yesterday told me this. In fact, he went forward to get saved. You don't get saved but one time, but he doubted his salvation. He went forward to get saved and get it right with God. And all they did was fill out a card on him and said, "We're going to baptize you." So he said, "I've been baptized twice." But he said, "When I was 19 years old, I heard the preaching of the Word of God, and a preacher preached on what you need to do to be saved." He said, "I went forward, and somebody, here's the key, somebody took the Bible and showed me from the Word of God what I needed to do to get saved." And he said, "It was that day that I got born again." Did you come to the place when you got saved to where you, you recognized and acknowledged that you had sinned against God, that you had sinned in this world. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I know we're all good people here, but it don't matter how good you are. The Bible says you're not good. There's not one. He says there's none good, no, not one. And we need to understand that we've got to come to the place in our life before God can save us. We got to understand we need to be saved. Why do we need to be saved? We need to be saved from our sins. Are we sinners because of the sin we commit? Yes, in some sense of the word. But people say, well, I don't go out and do what some people do. I don't live like some people live. And you may not. But the Bible said to him to know what to do good, to him to know what to do good, I done lost the verse. Him to know what to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So anything we do, if we don't read our Bible, if we don't pray, it's sin. Sin's sin. And God's going to judge us for sin. I've got a lot to say, so I've got to move on. Did you recognize the horrible consequences of sin? Did you realize? I remember when I got saved, I was a 10-year-old boy. I hadn't been out in the world. I didn't know too much about sin and the things of sin that was there. But I had a supernatural conversion. I had a supernatural conversion that occurred in my life. And this definite time that I trusted Christ, and I realized just how bad I was. I hadn't done anything real bad then, but I realized how bad I was. When you've had the experience, it needs to be according to the plan that God laid out. Did you recognize the horrible consequences of sin? Did you come to the place where you understood completely what Jesus did for you? Friend, the only way to be saved is to understand Jesus came, died, was crucified, was buried, rose again, and one day he's coming again to take us home to be with him in glory. And friend, there's no merit any other way except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then when you came to that point, did you cry out to God? Oh, I'm not talking about crying physically. You may not have cried physically, but came to the point where you acknowledged, Jesus Christ, thank you for giving your life on the cross for me, in order that I might be saved by the grace of God. Did you confess your sin, acknowledge who he was, and accept in his heart? Now, I'm just telling you this. This is what the Bible says you have to do. And if you don't do it, then unfortunately, it's sad to say, but many people are lost today because they've never come to that point. And I'm going to tell you, many churches have been guilty of signing people up and say, you want to join the church? Joining the church don't do anything for you except provide you fellowship and hearing of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And yet today we have failed in presenting the truth of the Word of God to make people understand that we're lost. The Bible said, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. He said, for that all have sinned. The Bible said, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we had to come to the point of understanding we were sinners. Christ died for us. We have to acknowledge that, ask him to forgive us of our sin, and to come into our hearts and save us. When the experience takes place, I believe it'll be crystal clear. I believe today there'll be a moment in time when everything will change. Right there is, we trust the Lord Jesus Christ with your life. You'll be forever transformed. You'll become a new creature. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But looking back, we all honestly, how would you describe the event that you got saved? Think about it this morning. Just think about it. When did you get saved? Now, I don't need the date. I don't need the time. And I'm not asking you to answer out loud. But think about it this morning. When did I get saved? When did I get it settled I was going to heaven? If you can't come up with that, you need to be sure you're saved. But then think with it. Well, when I did it, I remember it. But what did I do? Did I believe the Bible and believe and accept Christ into my heart? Did I do what I know was right? Yet we find here that we have a supernatural leaning when we depend upon the Lord, and we have a supernatural conversion that God blesses us and helps us with. And then we see a supernatural change in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 1. I told you I was going to be turning you over some. In chapter 1 of 1 John, now listen, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. These verses teach us that a person that is saved will have a desire to walk in the light of God. There's going to be a transformation that's going to take place in your life. You'll want to walk in fellowship with Jesus. I like the song, He walks for me and He talks for me and He tells me I'm His own. When a person's converted, their whole life will change. There's a theme which runs through the whole book of 1 John. The second way you can really know for sure is the proof of your life being drastically altered. Friend, the Bible says you become a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Now, does that mean we're going to be perfect? No. We'll never be perfect until we get to heaven. But we ought to strive to be as perfect as we can. And our desires will be based on whether we have been regenerated in our hearts and truly saved by the grace of God. There'll be a desire for fellowship with the things of life. That person that gets saved ought to gravitate. I'm going to tell you, and I say this, and I don't say it boastfully, I'm thankful for it. But I tell you, and I appreciate y'all. I love to go to church. I love to come to the house of God. I love to sing the songs of praise. I love to listen to gospel music. I love to hear things that bring me closer to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because I have a desire for the things of light. Before I got saved, I know I was 10 years old, and it's hard for me to really relate, but some of you didn't get saved till after you became an adult. And your life gravitated toward the darkness. And, you know, you go to the world and all the things that are there, the bars, everything's dark, the lights are dim. And that's the way that we kind of gravitated toward. But when we got saved, God came in. And I tell you, if God's living inside of you, there'll be a transformation and a change in your life that will draw you and gravitate you to walking with Him in the light of the Word. In verses 3 through 6 of chapter 2, look at it, it's right there. He said, and hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. There should be a desire for the true believer to do what the Word of God commands us to do. I'm telling you today, this is not an exercise this morning. This is an informative lesson and message to teach you and to preach to you and to make sure that you're saved. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He don't want anybody to die and go to hell. And so He made it as plain as He could. And 1 John is such a book that describes it all. Genuine salvation is proven by a desire to obey God, to obey Him in His commandments and everything that He says. Look at verse 2, verse number 29. The Bible said in verse number 29, if I get there, He says, if you know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. This is the Word of God, friend. This is not my thoughts. This is not my opinion. But He said, if you know God, if you're saved, and then you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. That's how you know you're saved. If you have a desire to obey the Word of God, if you have a desire to do the things of God and hear what God has to say, but when it comes to faith in Jesus, a dynamic thing happens and our lives are changed and they're changed for the better. And by the way, if you're not saved, you'll never have the peace of knowing that you're saved, and you'll go through life literally tormented because you wonder, if I die. In fact, today, if you were faced with death right now, I promise you, the thought would begin to go through your mind. Either you would remember the day you got saved, or you would be saying, I wonder if I am saved. And friend, no use wondering about it. Jesus is there to give you what you need. Believers who do sin are miserable until they repent. Friend, I'm telling you, the Bible said the sinner, the way of the transgressor is hard. And again, understanding, somebody said, well, I can't get saved because I just don't think I can live that life. You can't live that life, but when Christ comes in, He can live it through you. And again, it doesn't mean that you're perfect and you're not going to make a mistake. It don't even mean you're not going to ever sin again, because we do sin. And the Bible said if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, here's the whole point of what I'm saying, and listen to this. If you can sin and never be bothered by it, then you probably need to get saved. If you can sin and not suffer chastisement, you probably aren't saved. If you can sin and enjoy it, then you're probably not saved. If you're able to for your life with sin in your life every day and not feel an ache in your heart for restored fellowship with God, perhaps you need to be saved. I'm not saying that trying to be ugly. I'm saying that to try to get you to think. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. There's one thing. God's Spirit bears witness in my spirit. I know that I love Him, and I know that he loves me. Have I failed him? I sure have. But I thank God today that as a 10-year-old boy, I bowed my head beside Brother Cham McMillan, and he went through the Bible. He went through the Romans Road. He told me I was a sinner, told me that Jesus died for my sins. I prayed that day. And by the way, somebody said, that's just too easy. Jesus made it easy because he wanted everybody that would to go to heaven. And I prayed that prayer. And I tell you what, there was a time that I doubted because I did get away from God. I had to come back and ask God to forgive me. And I was a little concerned about whether I was saved or not. But my preacher began to talk to me. And I tell you, I had things happen in my life that was the chastisement of God upon my life. And not only that, but I had a conviction when I did wrong. And he said, did you do this? Did you really believe? And there's no doubt. I didn't go because anybody else went. I remember the night I got saved. It was all because I heard the preaching and I wanted Jesus to be my Savior. Now understand me today. Say people do sin. But thank God it doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means if you sin, if you'll confess your sin, God's faithful and just. Friend, there ain't nothing here today but a bunch of sinners. Don't take that personally because it is personal to all of us. We're just a bunch of sinners. Saved by the grace of God. Saved on our way to heaven, but thank the Lord, sometimes we have to stop and ask forgiveness. Go to chapter 4. I wanted you to look with me at verse number 6. It's so important that you get these verses down. And when you get home, y'all just read 1 John about 10 times if you have any doubt. But if you have any doubt, I hope you'll not leave here today without getting it settled. Chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The person that is saved will receive the word of God when it is preached. He'll read it, he'll study it, he'll accept it, and he'll believe it. Friend, we're not here tonight, as I said this morning, to entertain or impress. We're not here to make a great speech and have a great sermon. We're here tonight, today, to just give you the pure word of God. I want you to know today, I sing a song sometime, my dad, it was his favorite, said, I want us to be together in heaven. I'd be so disappointed to get to heaven and find out somebody sit in this service and left here not knowing whether they were saved or not and die and spend eternity in hell. Some will hear this who are saved at a very young age. And again, understand, as long as you can meet the requirements of what it says you had to be saved, I'm not trying to make you doubt it. I heard a fellow tell me one time, he said, you preach sometimes, you just make people doubt their salvation. I don't know this. I don't do it intentionally. But if a man's doubting and he can't get it settled, he needs to get it right. And he needs to do it today. For today is the day of salvation. Now, it is the accepted time. A supernatural conversion, supernatural change. Quickly, there will be a supernatural charity or love. Go to chapter number 2. And we're going to look at verses 9 through 11. Chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Now follow along with me. This is the word of God. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. This is the word of God, friend. He said, if you're saved, you're going to love your brothers. In fact, it's impossible for you to be saved and go to church and have hate in your heart toward a brother or sister that's in church. You said, well, you know what they did to me. Didn't make any difference. We don't know what we did to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he still loved us, didn't he? And I tell you today, he said, if you've really had a change. Now, I'm not saying you might not get angry. And I'm not saying you might not have sometime go ask forgiveness and you're lost if you have a little fault or something. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying genuinely, we as Christians, we ought to love one another. Thank the Lord we're saved on our way to heaven, regardless of who he is. The concept is mentioned numerous of times. And this is the word of God. This is not me. But again, he said, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. And walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth. Friend, I'm saying tonight, there's a lot of things that we can look at to know that we're saved. And there's things that ought to reveal to us if we're not saved, if we haven't done these things. John refers to this truth about love in this book. I'm not going to read them to you. but I'm going to give you the references. You don't have time to write them down, probably. Chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, we just read. Chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. Chapter 4, 20 and 21. He talks about the love that we ought to have one another, a spiritual manifestation for the love of God in our heart. How will this love manifest itself? In several ways. It'll be a Christ-like love from a genuine believer. It's the desire to fellowship and worship with the believers. It's a concern in the welfare of others and the family of God. And I believe that includes lost people too, because we ought to have a love for them, understanding that they need to be saved too. In concern, if we've offended a brother, that ought to speak to our heart. If we're saved, it ought to bother us if we've offended our brother. And we ought not to, what does the Bible say? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Oh, how tragic it is for husbands and wives to go to bed angry. Be angry for days. It will just destroy you and eat away. But if we have the love of God, we can make it right and do what is right according in a desire for reconciliation where there's a breach of the body of Christ. More could be said about it, but I believe the implications are clear. I'm just reading to you what the Bible says today about how to be saved. A supernatural conversion, repentance of your sin, trust in Jesus. A supernatural change, you'll become a new creature. Things you used to like, you won't like anymore. You'll start liking the good things. You'll like going to church. You'll like hearing the Word of God. You'll like doing what God would have you to do. And then you'll have a supernatural love. I tell you, I love the people of this church. You're like family to me. And I couldn't stand the thought of my family not going to heaven. This family or my personal family. But I'm telling you today, if you're saved, there ought to be a supernatural love in your heart. And then lastly, there will be a supernatural companion. Everything I mentioned thus far has been external. We talk about the external things. We talk about we have to confess our sin and get saved. We talk about the outward change, and that's noticed by people. Have you ever seen somebody get saved, and boy, about a month later or 6 months later or a year later, you say, man, that guy really changed. Well, it ought not be no surprise, because the Bible said he'd become a new creature. And then he talks about we'll want to walk in the light. That's seen by men. They see the difference. They see the places we go, the things we do, things we're involved in. And that is a testimony that we're saved. And then there's the love. We can tell. I can tell if folks have love or if they don't have love one toward another. It's evident. In fact, you can't hide it. So all those three things are physical things that can be seen all around about us. Sometimes the person that's lost don't see it. But the people around it can see it, and if they get saved, those things will change. And my, what a difference it'll make. But this last one, look if you would at chapter 4, verse number 13. Here's what it says. Now here's the key. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Can't explain it, but when I got saved, the Spirit moved inside my heart. And he's been there ever since. Everything I mentioned has been external, but here's something that's internal. You can't see the Holy Spirit in me, not physically. I hope you can see the Holy Spirit in me outwardly. But basically, it's the work of the Spirit in our life. When a person has been genuinely saved, there'll be an inner witness of the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, I'm telling you today, there's no doubt in my mind through the years, the Spirit of God has helped me to understand that I belong to Him because of conviction that He brings in my life. This is a mysterious business, but it's absolutely essential for the assurance of salvation to know that Jesus lives in your heart. Do you know that today? And again, I told you a while ago, people sometimes accuse me. They say, well, you're just trying to work people up. I'd rather work somebody up and see one person get saved and go to heaven than to see that person die and go to hell because I kept my mouth shut. Friend, I'm just telling you today, this is what the Bible said. This is not what I say. This is what the Bible says. And when the Spirit of God is present in your life, what will He do? He'll speak to your heart. I had a man come to me yesterday. He was talking to me. And he says, God spoke to me and said such and such, and he went on talking about it. Now, did I think that God audibly spoke to him? Or was he telling me God audibly spoke to him? No. He was telling me the Spirit of God that lives inside of him was telling him what he needed to do. And that's exactly the way the Spirit of God works. When you're truly saved, there'll be a spiritual instinct placed in your heart. He will speak to your heart. He will teach you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Somebody said, I can't understand that King James Bible. It's just too hard for me. Well, you got the greatest teacher in the world if you're saved, and if you're trying to study it without him, you're in a mess. But what we have is the greatest teacher, the Spirit of God, to lead and guide us. Not only would he, and that's another thing, he'll teach us spiritual truth, he'll guide us, he'll warn us. If you're saved, I believe everybody in this building has been saved. There's been times when you thought about doing something wrong. You said, not me. Well, I have to confess. You thought about doing something wrong, and all of a sudden something come over you. I hear people say sometimes, they say, preacher, something strange just happened. I just felt funny. I said, that's the Holy Spirit of God telling you that what you're about to do is wrong. He'll warn you. He'll lead you. He'll feed you. He'll help you. The Spirit of God will help you to understand the truth of the Word of God. He will comfort you. He will teach you all truth. When you're truly saved, we'll have that instinct in our life. And until we do, we're not going to have any peace. We're not going to have any assurance. If there's no communion with the Spirit, friend, perhaps there needs to be some examination. The Bible said in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Someone may say, preacher, I don't know if the Spirit is there or not. If he's there, you'll know it. I believe that. And you need to stop and think about it. When was the last time God convicted you of something wrong? Or when was the last time God chastened you for something you did wrong? I have to say that I've unfortunately received a lot of chastisement in my life, especially in my younger years. But I was always grateful. And some of them weren't so good. But I was always grateful. I'd rather have the Lord allow chastisement in my life to help me know that I'm saved by the grace of God than to be able to go on and live a life without Christ, not knowing whether I was saved or not. I've tried to cover a lot of territory this morning, or I have, and I surely haven't intended to confuse you. But I tell you today, 1 John holds the key to everything you need to know. It tells you exactly what you need to do in order to be saved. But today, if you don't know you're saved, you need to come to Jesus. Friend, today, the most important thing you'll ever do, you say, preacher, I'd be embarrassed. People think I've been saved for 30, 40 years. Miss Joyce Green and her husband, Doc, both years ago, they got it settled. Brother Doc was, we had to put him in a chair to baptize him. He was 70, 80, somewhere along that line. But you know, he said, preacher, I just don't know. And I want to get this thing settled, and I want to follow the Lord and believe his baptism. I believe I'm going to see Brother Doc Green one day in heaven because he did not let pride get in the way. Friend, today, I don't want you to come today if you feel and know for sure you're saved unless you just want to come pray. But if you're here today and there's any doubt in your mind, get it settled. We've got people today that will be glad to take the Bible and show you in just a few minutes what you need to do to put your faith in Christ. I encourage you to come. But if everybody's saved, I'm going to rejoice with you this morning, and we're going to thank God for saving our soul. But it makes a difference when Jesus comes in to stay.